Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's dive in for the 7 o'clock hour. Chris Ronji, Kevin Wheeler hanging with you. We got a good number of things to do here. We've already done a lot on baseball's labor situation. We'll probably have a few things that are related to that. I have one thing related to that that we'll start off here in a second. I'll be curious to see, Ronji, if you agree with me on this. But we got a few other things we'll throw in the hour. One thing we'll get to later, Ronj, is we're each going to name something that we're legitimately terrible at. Like, we're legitimately awful at doing. We're going to get to that later on.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you wanted time to think about it, because I know you're not, you probably don't have very many things that you're terrible at.
Of course not, Kevin.
You'll have to probably think about it, or your list is so long you'll need time to whittle it down, one or the other.
Yeah,
I know I need the time, but I've been actually thinking about it since yesterday. So I probably figured it out.
You know what I'm really bad at doing is thinking about things that I'm terrible at.
Well, that doesn't count. That's cheating. You got to come up with a better answer than that.
Okay. No, I'll have something. Don't
you'll
worry.
Have something later.
I've got plenty.
So we
hate myself.
All right. Well, dark way to start the 7 o'clock hour, but all right. We've already done our share of picking on Rob Manfred, and we'll probably do that again tomorrow. Just because it's a daily thing as we go through this labor stuff. We've talked about ideas for the game. One thing I want to try to put a cap on right now, because I'm already starting to see it. I've had people reach out to me this way. Sorry, but some of these people are my friends, and I've already had to make fun of them to their faces. At least to their faces via text, because I wasn't in the same place as them. But it's popping up on Twitter, too, with all these labor stories, Ronj. I cannot take this. I can't. So if you're one of the people doing this, two things. Stop it. And also, think about the power that you already hold. I keep seeing, Ronj, we need a fans union. We need a union for the fans so we can have a voice in all of this. What are you talking about? You have no way. Like, what third party gets to insert themselves into a collective bargaining agreement? It's nonsense. Stop putting that out there. Anybody that's tweeting that thinks it's a brilliant idea. This is a great idea. We should really come together and form some kind of fan union. For what? You can't have any say. Nobody's going to listen to you. And beside that, Ronj, we fans, we already have all the power that we need.
That's right.
But nobody uses it. If you don't like how the product is, stop watching, stop going, drop your subscriptions. Don't buy any more gear, stop spending money, and then they will listen to you. That's it.
I don't know what, and I have not seen this that you're talking about. People clamoring for a fan union.
Go through like of Jeff Passan's tweets where you get like he tweets what happens, and there all the comments are like, you know what? We need someone to speak for the fans. Like, oh,
I probably muted all of Passan's commenters. And it's not his fault because he's very good at
what
he does. All right, so you're right. The fans have all the power, but there's no compensation involved here. So like, if we're looking at this realistically, and I know these people saying this are just, they're crazy fans out of their minds.
They don't think is what it is. You don't think
they're like, not thinking.
Oh, that's
you're
a
right.
good idea. Why can't somebody advocate for us?
Well, because
you don't have a spot at the table.
Yes, there's no compensation involved. Okay, so what's the outcome? All right, you get a fan union. The fan union argues in favor of you. What do you get? Nothing. You're not getting the cheaper ticket prices.
No,
that's not going to happen.
No.
No, it's not going to happen. It's just that it's not how things work.
Well, it could happen. The only way it does happen, though, is
if
fans stop buying tickets.
Right. Going.
It's supply and demand. It's not a complicated. There are two things in this world, Ronge, that really piss me off. And I mentioned this to Dave Glover earlier during a commercial break, and we were talking about it. Two things that people piss me off about. They don't understand supply and demand, and then they don't understand the First Amendment.
You should understand
both of those things if you're a grown person. It's not right. hard. Like, supply and demand. When there's a lot of demand, prices are going to go up. So, like, when gas prices went down during the lockdown, the COVID lockdown, that was because there was no demand.
Nobody was driving.
Nobody was buying gasoline. Nobody right. was driving around. So the prices come down. When people went back to work, all I saw was like, well, thanks, guys, for the higher prices. It's because there's demand. This isn't complicated. You know, I mean, like that and understanding what the First Amendment actually is, those should be two things that you should not be allowed to get a driver's license without acknowledging and understanding those two concepts. They're that simple.
First of all, in the history of ever, gas prices have never been controlled by the president of the United States. That's number one.
I mean, you might want to yell at,
Yes, go yell at OPEC. You got a problem? Go yell at the countries who have control of all the oil. That's number one. Secondly, the First Amendment, all it says is, and this is just a primer course for people who don't know, basically what it says is you can say what you want to without being jailed by the government. That's it, basically.
Pretty much.
You're not going to go to jail for speaking out against the government. That's it. Doesn't mean that you can go to work and act like a jerk on Twitter and expect no repercussions or getting fired or be taken off Twitter. That's not a removal of your First Amendment right. That's not what it is.
No.
It's not how it works. And ticket prices are not set because of big league payroll. That's not how it works. No. It is not because your payroll is $200 million and therefore your tickets are expensive. No, your tickets got expensive first. And then they started having to give players more money when players realized how much money
There's
was coming
revenue.
Into
yeah.
baseball. Yeah. That's all this entire argument is essentially players generally want a bigger piece of the pie because they see, you talked about that $11 to $12 billion that baseball makes every year. And that goes up pretty much every year, has done so steadily for years. People see that. And then the players see that, I'm saying, and then they go, well, wait a minute, you're making all of this money. We want some of it. We want more of it. We don't want a 60-40 share. We want closer to 50-50. That's what's happening.
Right.
It's not because, okay, well, we just paid for Paul Goldschmidt, so we got to raise ticket prices $10 each for every ticket because we got. That's not how it works.
No, because it won't work that way. They price the tickets based on what they know they will sell for.
Correct.
Right.
It's straight supply and demand.
Yeah.
They will charge what you will pay for.
Yeah. I mean, again, I feel like I'm a pretty dumb person when it comes to finances and understanding the economy and all that. I still think like the stock market is run by witches and things. But I understand supply and demand. Like, I understand that it's not a concept that is difficult to grasp. It's like, why do you think World Series tickets are more expensive than a regular season game? Because there's more people that want them. So the prices go up. It's shocking, I know. And also, you know, there's only 7 World Series games a year, and at most 4 of them at one particular stadium. So again, the supply is very short, the demand is very high, therefore they are expensive.
Kevin, let me give you an example of this. A little bit over a month ago, I went up to Chicago to visit some friends, went with some friends here. We went up and had a trip. And I looked into getting Bulls tickets the weekend we were there because the Bulls had LeBron and the Lakers coming into town. And I was like, oh, I want to get in on that.
Yeah, good luck.
They have dynamic ticket pricing, which means certain games are more expensive. A typical game on a Sunday, you're looking at maybe on average like $150 a ticket. That's still a lot of money. You know what it was for that day? When I looked on the website and there were tickets available about 3-4 weeks in advance, you know how much?
$1 million.
Well, close. $1,000. Like tickets were like $1,000.
Just a couple of commas off. That's all.
Just I'm like, okay, all right. Well, we're not going to do all that.
Yeah,
I do want to see LeBron play, but I'm not doing it at $1,000 a pop. Then that was like close to the average.
Yep.
So because that's dynamic pricing, and the reason people want to pay to watch LeBron James play basketball. The Bulls are good.
Yep.
And LeBron is LeBron. So here's a combination. I can see my team that's really good.
Yep.
And LeBron's in town.
Yep.
I will pay that kind of money. That's supply and demand.
Yeah. So to recap the segment, fans, you do not need a union. You have the spending power, the power to withhold spending already in your hands. All you got to do is just not do it. Number two, understand what supply and demand does for pricing. And then three, understand First Amendment. We're not going to go too deep into that, but it's really not. You outlined it very well. It's simply the government cannot tell you what you can or can't say. That's it. That's the First Amendment.
And they can't put you in prison for saying it.
Right, right. You can't be jailed or punished by the government, but you can be fired for it.
Yeah.
I know I could be. There is a whole list of words, Ronj, that if I said them right now, I'd be fired.
Yes. Yeah, and you can't claim freedom of speech.
My First Amendment rights!
I can say the word that starts with F right now.
Fried?
Freedom of speech.
Fried?
Yes.
Fried's a bad word?
Yes. Frank.
Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree. That that's definitely...
you can't.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Not unless you don't mind being in an unemployment line, or unless you're going to go work as a stand-up comic. You get away with that, right? You can't do that on the radio.
You can say whatever you want and maintain your freedom.
Yep.
But you might be given your freedom from your job as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the deal. Mm-hmm. You just won't go to prison over it.
That's correct. All right. So now that we've talked about the labor stuff, we've given Rob Manfred a hard time. We've now given a certain segment of fans. It's certainly not every fan, but I do think that, again, stop dreaming like this is some kind of fantasy world and you're going to form a fans union and we're going to fix the problems. It's not going to work that way. And we've done our civics lesson. Now, I want to talk about something I just discovered 15 minutes ago that might be one of the most awful things I've ever seen in my entire life when it comes to sports. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, Ronj, but check your
I know.
Direct messages on Twitter.
I already know. I'm one step ahead of you, pal.
There is a chimera that's being sold to us as what will we call this, as sports apparel. And it's clearly the one thing that no fan has ever asked for, ever. I'll explain what we mean, and we'll make fun of the company next on KMOX.
This is Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Sports Open Line Thursday night here on KMOX. Kevin Wheeler, Chris Ronji hanging out again tonight and tomorrow night. Looking forward to finishing off the week, having a little fun. I don't know where the show's going to go tomorrow night. I mean, it might be weird because it's a Friday night, but hopefully we'll have some more stuff to talk about that doesn't include just yelling about labor situations and stuff, Ronj, because, first of all, it's just so unnecessary, right? I mean, like, we don't need to be in the middle of all of this. That's kind of the frustrating part. It's why it sets me off. Like, I understand how collective bargaining works. I've covered enough of these things in professional sports going back to 1995 to know that this is the stupid way that it works, but doesn't mean it's not stupid.
Well, it's totally stupid. It's just we get to see the sausage getting made, and in some respects it would be better if all we knew is that there was a stoppage right now and the two sides are behind closed doors trying to work on it and it wasn't being done publicly. I don't know if I guess in some respects that would be good. But I'm curious, and I like to know what is going on. I like to know what the progress is, who's asking for what, who's not willing to budge on this. And I think it is good from the perspective of somebody who likes to, really break these things down to have some detail on it. I like it. I think generally, though, for the fans, it's probably not a good thing. it's not good that we know every single thing that happens, because what ends up happening is what happened during 2020 and, yeah. and really prior to that. But in 2020, the league and the owners could not wait to blame it all on the players. They couldn't wait. And like they did it, it seemed like before they even talked. Right. And mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that I just cannot get past. I don't want to see that. It's the only sport of the four major sports that consistently, over the course of many, many years and many CBA negotiations, it's the only sport where ownership is just awful talking about the players. Just awful talking about them. Like, it, compared to all the other sports, nobody does it worse than Major League Baseball does. Nobody tries to make you think the players are the problem more than Major League Baseball does. And that does not sit well with me.
No, it doesn't with me either. I think that's a terrible plan. Like, you're bad-mouthing your product, right? I mean, that's what it is. I mean, we have enough of that with national TV guys always complaining about the game on the field. I think it'd be nice if everybody that was involved kind of promoted the product and talked about the strengths of it and all of that, rather than talking about it all the time. And I'd say that, you know, part of this too is the realization that it doesn't have to be this nonsensical, right? It doesn't right. have to be openly confrontational. It can just be, hey, and you know what I thought at the time, you know, we were talking earlier, Ranj, about the December 2nd letter that Manfred put out and all that. You know, the letter that the Cardinals sent out that same night was like perfect. It was like, you know, there's a work stoppage. We're looking forward to working with the players to getting back on the field. And like, it was exactly what Major League Baseball should have sent out. But obviously, Rob Manfred can't have that because he's the pit bull lawyer who only knows one thing, and that is bite.
And he's got the entire league to get behind, because it... You can't, I think it'd be a much more difficult prospect. And I don't know. I didn't see a lot of other teams and what emails they sent out to their fan bases. I don't know. Or to the press. I didn't see a lot of the leagues or a lot of the teams around the league. But it's a lot tougher for the St. Louis Cardinals to say, yeah, these players that are on our roster are the reason that there is no baseball. You can't do that. Rob Manfred can do that behind the league. You know, the nebulous league, it's like there's no one team that's blaming the players. It's right. just this, here's Major League Baseball, which really is the teams in baseball. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of tone that he sets, and he's able to do it. But the teams really can't do that. It just, the whole thing's gross. And I wish it didn't have to be this way. I wish it was a whole lot easier. But when it comes to billionaires, separating them from their money, it's a very difficult thing yeah. to get them to do. Yeah. And even if it does make sense for the health of the sport and for the sake of the people who are your customers, it's still very difficult to get them to do that. And I say this a lot, Kevin. I think sports should be considered a public trust. You know, it's one thing if you're Coca-Cola or Pepsi, you know, Coca-Cola or PepsiCo, and you have all those brands underneath you, and what you want to do is you want to stamp out the competition.
Right.
You want
right.
to be the only beverage company that supplies beverages to everybody. But the way, and people generally don't care, right? Like, I don't care if Pepsi or Coke wins as a person. I don't, because whichever one doesn't win, I'll just go to the other one, right?
Yep.
But when it comes to sports, like, you ask people, and maybe you send them emails every day, and you have commercials, and you plead to them, come watch our games. Come watch our games on TV. Come to the ball games, and here's this package deal that you can get. And then, you know what? Here's some apparel. Like, you've got an email from the Cardinals team store or MLB.com. Like, this new stuff is out. Come buy this stuff. Like, you are asking people to invest time, money, and their passion. All of that stuff, you're asking them to invest in your product. So you should do right by the people that you ask to be a part of your lives every single day and give their money to you and their time and their attention. But that's not how they see it.
No, what you're doing, Ranj, you're 100% right. What they're doing is selling you on a product that they expect you to buy
for the rest of your life,
regardless of whether the product's any good.
Right.
Like, if you go to a restaurant that serves you 62 and 100 level food, like your record is 62 wins and 100 losses, if you got food at that quality, you're never going back. You're never going back.
Correct.
But the sports team is selling you on the lifetime of memories and all of this. And there is a lot more attached to it than your typical customer business transaction, where if I go to a normal business and I get bad service or I get a crappy product, I'm just not going to go back there anymore. When sports don't have to deal with that dynamic, like they get a free pass on that because of that public trust that you're talking about.
And you're not buying Coca-Cola apparel. You're not buying. You might have a Coke T-shirt.
I got all kinds of Mountain Dew clothes.
You do not, you liar.
I have one T-shirt.
And if you have anything more than that one T-shirt, the rest of it was free. I promise
well,
you.
Well, yeah. All right.
Because you're not buying Coca-Cola hats and Coke shirts and Coke jackets and, you know, socks and all of this stuff. You're not doing that. It's like, hey, it's a product and I'll drink that thing here today and then maybe I'll have some a week later or something. It's not like we want you to be for the rest of your life committed to us as an organization. It is completely different, and I think it should be treated as such. It isn't treated that way, and that really, really bothers me. I wish it, and I know it's idealistic to look at that way, but sports is idealistic.
Yeah. Well, you can't. It's just to me, you can't have it both ways. You can't expect to be treated specially as a different type of business, and then not live up to that on your end.
Right.
You know, and again, that doesn't always mean, like we said, it doesn't always mean spending, but it does mean taking care of the product and taking care of the fans and at least putting a good faith effort into delivering on some of what you expect other people to give you in terms of their loyalty. Right.
The point that you made about expecting that loyalty, even when things are down, because we're not fair weather fans
don't
around
be a
here.
Jumper.
We're not fair weather fans. We support this team no matter what. I used to think that's the way it should be, that you should go to the ballpark every single day or as much as you possibly can, even if the team is bad, to still show them you support. But I don't subscribe to that anymore. No. I don't think you jump teams. I don't think you say, well, I'm no longer a fan of you. I'm going to go pick this other team that's winning. That's bandwagon jumping, and that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be fun for you, and you have no heartache ever, but good
no,
for you.
It's horrible.
But it's beyond what being a fan is. But you don't have to go support a team that's lousy and isn't trying to get better and isn't doing right by their players. There's nothing that says you have to do that. It doesn't make you a bad fan or a good fan. When I was doing White Sox postgame, when they were really bad, and there were times where they just sucked, and I used to take phone calls from fans, and I can't even tell you how many times I would get this call per night where somebody would say, give me a reason to go watch them play. Like, give me a reason to spend my money to go to that ballpark and watch them play. And the only thing I can think of is, well, I mean, do you like baseball? I mean, it's the summer. And if you want to do something on a summer night, there's not much else to do but then go to a baseball game, I guess. Like, that's it. And there were times I felt bad for telling people, hey, come spend your money on this team that stinks. I shouldn't have been giving a reason for it. But, I mean, that's it. And you're still asking people to show up when it's not good. And sports is the only business in the world where the owners of those businesses expect that.
Yeah.
Support us even if we stink.
Hey, we have a new chef. He's not really good right now. He's still learning. You know, we only have half the menu we normally do, and the things we do have are nowhere near as good as they normally are. But please come out and come to this restaurant and have a great dinner.
Like, hey, I know the last time you were here there was a cockroach on your plate.
But
we got that all sorted out, though. Maybe.
We got this new prospect, running the front of the house now. So, you know, things are going to get better years down the road. They'll get
at
better.
Some
it's
point.
Always in the future, right? Always
we
in the
promise.
Future. Ronj, all right, I gave you this to think about a half an hour ago. We're going to talk about it next up. Again, my list may be a little longer than yours, but whatever. I mean, that's kind of part of the thing, understanding our flaws and such. What is something that you're just horrible at? That's what we're going to get into. Ronj has something. I know I've got a list of a bunch of them, but I got to pick one, which is the hard part. Like, one thing in this world that you are just awful at. We'll hit it next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, time to find out what Chris Ranji and Kevin Wheeler are horrible at. And I can hear you already. Smart asses all over the place. You guys are terrible at radio. That's what Ben Boyd just said. Thanks, Ben.
Oh, Ben Boyd.
Come on, dude. Thought you were my friend.
Who is Ben Boyd?
The guy, you know, this new hot shot with the Cardinals.
New hot shot with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Huh. Now taking shots at us via text.
Because
he's out of reach
familiar.
Anymore. No, we're just teasing. Ben's just playing with us. Ben, you're the best. We love you.
No, I think he means every word of it.
I mean, he does, but let's in the way that friends do when friends rip on other friends, right? Like, if I make fun of you, I probably mean it, but I mean, it's just in a fun, friendly
right.
way.
Let me just say this. I have threatened his safety in the text messages.
And it's all just good. It's all fun and games, right?
No, I totally mean this.
Oh, you mean this?
Will,
okay.
I will find him, and I will put a hurting on him,
yeah.
Or I'll pay somebody to do it.
I don't believe you. You know what you know one thing you're terrible at?
What's that?
Being threatening.
Yeah, I know. I'm not imposing. I'm tall, but I'm not imposing, and that's fine.
Yeah, you don't have an aggression to you. You're like a chill. No. You're chill. You're like the dude.
Yeah, I am. I am pretty chill. I can get fired up sometimes,
yeah.
But for the most part, chill.
Good. Good. That's good to know. Could take advantage of that somewhere down the road.
don't start looking for buttons, Kevin.
What?
Don't for buttons to push.
Oh,
don't
push.
Start looking.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
I always like to know, you know, where I can attack if necessary. You never know.
Okay.
You just never know what's going to happen.
I know with you. I'm being very careful. Right. Tell me what you're bad at.
All right. So. I'm going to do, I broke it down into two categories, and you can do
you
the same
thing. Categories?
Like. Yeah, just simple. Like one thing that doesn't matter at all, has no impact on my life, but it's something I'm legitimately terrible at. And then the other thing I'm terrible at actually kind of matters, and it's a pain in my ass, and I still don't care enough to get better at it. The one that doesn't matter is I have zero musical skill in any way. I cannot sing at all. This is why when we did our idiot quiz the other day, when it said, have you ever done karaoke? I'm like, no, I haven't, because I can't sing. It's horrible, and I would never subject anybody to that. So that's the one that doesn't matter at all, but I am terrible at that. The one that matters is I can't fix or repair anything. I have zero, like, man skills around the house. Like, I could push a lawnmower. I can lift heavy things. I can't fix anything, man. I can't fix the toilet. I can't fix the fridge. I can't fix the dishwasher. I can't fix anything. If I need something, I can't fix anything on my car. I can put gas in it, and maybe I could put more oil in if I needed to, but that's about it.
I can do that. I can do, I can change a tire. I can put a spare tire on.
But that's not complicated. That's easy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to speak for yourself.
I mean, it's easy.
For some people, it's really difficult.
It's easy conceptually. It's not always easy in execution, depending on how rusty the screws are and how tough they are to get on and off. But other than that, it's not complicated.
Yeah, I'm not great at fixing stuff around the place. Like, I live in a building where they've got maintenance, and I just call them.
Smart
like, hey,
move.
Come up here and fix. Come take care of this thing.
I just have a list of phone numbers, guys that can come fix things that I can't fix.
See? There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's not your job.
But
you don't
it's my shortcoming.
You don't need to be able to do it. No, that's okay, though. That is an acceptable shortcoming. And you have, like, I have a list of things. Like, I don't have important stuff, non-important stuff. So maybe what I should add to the list is I'm not very good at organizing because this is all just one big, blob here of stuff that
but
I'm
the
not
question
good
is
at.
Not what you're not very good at. What are you legitimately horrible at? Like if you do this thing around other people, people are going to look at you differently for the rest of their lives.
Okay,
and for me, that's the singing thing. For me, that's it. If I were to break into song here or anywhere else, people would be like, I can never look at him the same ever again.
Well, I don't know. I don't have anything like that. It's stuff like I can't fall asleep when I want to. And I know you're great at that. You've told me that. Like, you've told me, like, hey, when my head hits the pillow, I'm gone.
Yep.
I can't go to bed early. So, like, I have to get up early the next day, right?
Right.
I got to get up at 5 right. or 5:30 for right. something. I'm going to go to bed at 10. This is going to be great. And then I go and I lay down and I am still up until 2 or 3 or later.
Right, so you're delusional. Still. You think you're going to fall asleep when you're not going to.
And I set everything up like, okay, turning the screens off. I'm going into the other room. I'm going into my bedroom. I'm going to lay down. The lights are off.
Doesn't work that
way,
bro.
Fan running. Yeah, it just nothing. I can't.
Doesn't work that
way.
You know the way it works? Go to bed when you go to bed and deal with whatever sleep you get. That's what I do. If I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, if I don't fall asleep till 2, well, guess who's going on 3 hours sleep until he can find time for a nap?
Yep. That's what I've done. I've done the morning show. In my life, I've filled in morning shows a few times.
Oh, it's the
and
worst.
You know, the one that I saw, oh God, the one that I filled in on the most was a 5 a.m. start. So the show was 5 to 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to be there at like 3:30 or 4 mm-hmm. in the morning or whatever.
That's an all-nighter for me.
I just stayed up.
Yep.
I didn't go to bed. I'm like, you know, I think the first night I filled in, I was like, I'll try to go to bed at 8. No, that wasn't happening. So what I ended up doing was I just stayed up until it was time to go to the show and then did the show, came home and went to bed after.
Yeah.
This is
not something that you're horrible at because it's not really something you can control. Like, what is
no,
something
it's not.
You have, like, do you have,
okay,
is
here's,
there anything where here, you just have, like, zero aptitude? Like,
yep.
I can't shoot a basketball, or I can't swing a baseball bat, like that kind of thing.
Well, no, I can't shoot a basketball at all.
You
like,
can't?
I look terrible. No, I'm not very good.
Oh, my God.
You know what else I can't
That's
do?
Shocking.
I can't remember your birthday. For the life of me, I can't remember.
I never told you my birthday.
Well, anybody's birthday.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember birthdays. I remember.
I'm not gonna lie. I kind of suck at that too.
I'm so bad at remembering birthdays. I have to go to, if I think a birthday has just happened or is close, I have to go to somebody's Facebook page and look up their birth date.
Yeah.
And I go, oh yeah, okay, it is their birth.
I got about
that's how I do.
I got about a half a dozen that I know. Like I know my wife's, my daughter, I know mm-hmm. my brother and sister, my mom and dad, and that's probably the group. And I know generally speaking, like I know what month. The birthdays are for like my mother and father-in-law and stuff like that, but I can't remember the dates. Thank God it's, you know, not something that I technically have to remember.
Let me tell you what I remember.
I should, though.
Yes, you definitely should. That's the one you should remember. But let me tell you the ones I can remember. My mom's and my dad's.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I have to think hard on the actual date because one is the 19th and one is it was February 19 and August 20. And sometimes I think, wait, is it February 20 and August 19? Like I still have to think about it when it comes to my parents. I remember my one grandmother's birthday because it was the day before mine. And whatever girlfriend I happen to have in the moment, I usually remember that birthday.
Man, how do you do that when you just have, you know, that change? Or does it not change that often?
It's very difficult, Kevin. That's the point.
I'm like... Like, yeah, that would be bad. I mean, I've been trying to think now. It's my wife and I just celebrated our, so that would have been 26th anniversary in December. And then we were dating before that when we were sophomores in college. So, you know, like, it's been pretty easy to remember that birthday because it's been about 30 years.
Well,
not hard to
that's
remember.
Different.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah, never had to do that game that you're playing. Never had to be another birthday to... Thank God you have a phone, though. You can just program that stuff in.
And I don't even think to do that.
Why not?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't think about it. I have to go to Facebook like, oh, damn, did I miss somebody's birthday? Let me look it up. And then I text them and I go, oh, shoot, sorry I missed your birthday. I remembered, but you know, I didn't actually remember.
All right.
Then I have to make up for
it. I'm right there with you. I will make this confession. We'll close this segment on this part. I'm going to tell you, I've tried and I keep screwing it up somehow. I need to find a way to totally hide my birthday thing on Facebook because I don't ever go on Facebook. I don't post on there. I don't do the whole, you know, like that's not where I learn about medical advice or politics or anything like that. I don't do all that.
It's the last place you should. It's the last place.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Facebook should be about, like, Facebook should be about events in people's lives that you know.
I have it just so people who maybe don't have my cell number can find me. You know, people I went to high school with, family members, whatever. But, you know, like, I'll go on there around my, you know, I get all these notifications on my birthday, and there's like, you know, everybody that's doing the Facebook thing, because apparently it's a thing on Facebook. You get a message, says, hey, these people that you know have birthdays today, wish them a happy birthday. And apparently everybody else does that but me. And then I feel terrible about it. And then I'm like, so I want to erase my birthday from there, and I haven't figured out how to do it right yet. I hit it before, and then I got all the birthday things again. So,
and I don't think you can.
And I feel like a jerk. But then again, I don't want to check all the time.
All you have to do is say I'm not on Facebook that much.
I do. That's what I say. I'm like, hey, thanks, guys. I'm never here, but I appreciate you.
That's fine.
That's good enough.
That's perfectly fine.
Okay.
I will take that excuse. It's a reasonable excuse, and I'll go with that.
So if you don't
say anything to me on my birthday, then I don't care.
I probably won't.
Because I do the exact same thing. I don't really check much anyway.
All right. So. Hang tight. Hang tight, Ronj. I don't know what I had an idea for the next segment. Now I forgot it because, well, that's another thing I'm terrible at. I forget things. If I don't have them programmed into my phone, I don't remember to take out the garbage. So
also bad at remembering pencil and paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a pen and pad, pal.
Yeah, I'll lose the paper. That's the problem. All right, hey, hang tight. Chris Ronji, Kevin Wheeler hanging with you on Sports Open Line on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown! Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, thankfully I remembered the story that I wanted to finish off with. It'll only take a couple of minutes, Ronj, but I saw this earlier today, and, let's just say that there's a lot of bad medical advice that's being tossed around, and I had never heard this one before, but did you see what Bart Scott said today?
Oh, yes.
Interestingly, on the show called Get Up, on ESPN, his advice.
You're such an idiot.
It's what happened, man.
I know.
He told everybody that coming up in the playoffs this weekend that, quote, take some Viagra before the game, baby. That'll get the circulation going, right? Isn't that going to direct blood flow away from your brain?
I guess he's talking about it keeping them warm. Right?
I guess in these cold weather cities, right? Like Buffalo. Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't know why. I know it was explained to me, but I forgot. I know that sometimes for some reason years ago, and maybe it still happens, but when I was covering baseball every day, I know some of the players used to pop Viagra before they played. It must do something for them. It says they say it puts them on edge, and they're like, hey, I'm, you know, ready to go in more ways than one.
Right.
But they would do that, and like for some reason it helped them play better.
Ah.
I don't know. Or at least
I didn't. I knew Viagra was a performance enhancer, but I didn't think it was in the sports sense.
Maybe. I don't. I guess.
But here's the other funny part of this story, because that part's pretty funny. That on a show called Get Up, he's talking about Viagra. You know, get you ready for a game.
You know what that's called?
What's that?
It's called coincidence.
It's a quiz. It's actually what I would call.
I don't think
I would call that kismet. I would call that.
It's definitely
fate.
Not irony.
No,
it's not irony.
Irony
I don't
it's
think.
Fate.
No,
destiny. If
that's
you
another thing people don't understand is irony.
Yeah, yeah, which is ironic.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry.
Oh boy.
But here's another branch to the Bart Scott Viagra story. And when I went to look it up, because I couldn't remember who said it, so I'm on the Twitter. And I'm going to put in Viagra football. That's what I'm typing in there, right? And before I could type the football part, I'm just typing Viagra. And what I see come up on the search bar is Viagra is not currently recommended for COVID-19 treatment. And I'm like, wait, there's a lot of things I didn't know that people used. People are using that for COVID too?
That was a thing that in the last week or two, there was some woman somewhere who recovered from COVID in a hospital, and they accidentally administered Viagra to her instead of something else. So I think either she or, you know, the weirdos who want to do anything but get vaccinated, who look for all these miracle treatments instead of just doing the one simple thing that we can all do, and it's very easy and done, they jumped on it and they're like, see, you could take Viagra instead because this one lady recovered, but she probably recovered anyway. And even if she hadn't gotten Viagra, clearly, she would have recovered.
Ronj, come on. Clearly, if one thing happens, the next thing that happens is connected to that thing.
Well, I had pizza recovered. I recovered from, you know what?
So pizza's the cure.
I had COVID last October, so over a year ago I had it. I had cantaloupe on Thursday, and by Friday I was cured of COVID.
I mean,
so it's got to be the cantaloupe.
Similar thing happened with me. I had COVID 2 months ago, and I ate ramen noodles twice, and then 2 days later it was gone. It's the ramen noodles.
I knew it. I knew it's the ramen.
I mean,
ramen cures everything.
It's called top ramen for a reason, man.
Ramen is great. Ramen is great for hangovers and for COVID.
I just didn't expect that. Like, first of all, I didn't expect to be talking about Viagra and football. And then when I went to do the search, I didn't expect Viagra and COVID to be lumped together. And then when I clicked on that, there was another tweet after that from a doctor guy saying, I can't believe I have to say this, but don't drink your own pee because that's how you fix COVID. And I'm like, what is happening?
I honestly thought when you brought this up, that's what you were going to say, was the pee story.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the original point, because I thought the Bart Scott thing was funny, right? I'm like, this is pretty funny.
It's super funny.
Yeah. And then I go in to do that. I'm like, oh my God, now it's weird. And then like, oh my God, it's getting even weirder.
Like, it's really funny because I'm looking right now at a story from the Courier Journal, and the headline is, can drinking urine cure COVID? Do you have to ask this question?
No, but we do have to go, so.
Goodbye.
We can't solve this tonight. You're the best, Ronj. Why don't we do this again tomorrow night?
Sounds good, pal.
All right, good job, buddy. Chris Ronji, Kevin Wheeler, Rick, we're getting ready to take off here, but Greg Damon's got you covered at the top of the hour on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.